took place in the upper room when they got together for the Passover, which we often refer to as the Last Supper. It was the first Lord's Supper, and a very special time as he was saying essentially farewell, but also preparing them for his departure and teaching us so many great things. Many of the doctrinal truths in these chapters are only in John. They're not in any of the other Gospels. So it is a definite change here in John 13. The public ministry is over. Now it's just his disciples and then the garden and then, of course, Calvary. So tonight we'll look at the first 17 verses of John 13, where the Bible says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them." So wash one another's feet. Dear Lord, I pray you'd use your word now to teach us. Thank you for the privilege to meet in the middle of the week and open your word and pray one for another. And I pray for a special time in your word and in prayer. We give you the rest of the evening, Lord. May you be glorified through it. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. So beautiful example that Christ is setting here with his disciples for them and for us, that we are all called to be servants. And Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, the King of kings and Lord of lords, set aside the time to wash dirt off of sinners' feet. It's amazing, isn't it, that he would do such a thing? It wasn't necessarily a convenient time, wasn't it? Or was it? He knew what was coming. He knew that Calvary was close. It says there in verse 1, he knew that the hour was come. He knew that it was at the end. And yet he still set aside the time to wash their feet, to set an example, to teach them. And I love that statement there in verse 1. He loved them unto the end. Isn't that beautiful? He loved them unto the end. Jesus was displaying love in action here, wasn't he? We've talked about that enough times, that love is what we do. Christ here was showing love through serving his disciples. And God wants us to be the same, that our love and our display of that love for others should not be dependent on their behavior. It should be because of the love we have in our hearts. And Jesus, let's never forget that he washed Judas's feet. Think about that. The very one who's just very shortly going to betray him for 30 pieces of silver, Jesus washed his feet. And what is he teaching us there? That our love is to be given unconditionally to others. And it may not be received as we want it to be sometimes. People may not treat us as we want to be treated sometimes, but that should be independent of how we treat them. Amen? We should love them always. Jesus said, by this, later on in the chapter, down in verse 34 or 35, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one to another. And he had just now taken the time to show that love through action. So Christ girded himself. It says here, he didn't delegate this task to someone else. He could have. He was the Lord. But no, he did it himself. He girded himself. He washed their feet. If you go to Philippians 2, we'll see that Christ here is being an example of a servant. And this is what he wants from you and from me, that we would be servants, not only of the Lord, but of others, of each other. Notice Philippians chapter 2, down in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So God says, I want you to have the mind of Christ. What mind does he mean? Verse 6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, that he took upon him the form of a servant. Christ came to minister, not to be ministered unto. And he said, I'm setting an example. I want you to follow my example of servanthood, of having a servant's heart. And could there be a more beautiful display of servanthood than washing someone else's feet? Think about it. I mean, they wore sandals back then, so their feet were definitely dirty. And this is Jesus teaching us. Go to James chapter 2, where the Bible teaches that our service to others, again, is not to be dependent on them. It's dependent on God. And that's why James says here in chapter 2, verse 1, my brethren, have not the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. We just want to love the ones that we like loving. But that's not Jesus, is it? Here he is washing Judas's feet, the very one that's going to betray him. But he's showing us that our love is to be poured out upon others because it's coming from the Holy Spirit who lives in us. And it's to be independent of them. It's to be completely dependent on our God. Amen? And Jesus was setting that example for us. So he says there in verse 7, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. They don't understand yet. They've been given all this power. They've been given the power to work miracles. They still don't quite comprehend the importance later on of being a servant, do they? But they will. And as a matter of fact, Peter, if you go to 1 Peter chapter 5, the very one who had trouble understanding the lesson initially, as we just read, later on, what does he say to leaders of the church, pastors, elders, here in 1 Peter 5? Verse 2, feed the flock of which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, but not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. He says, yes, you're elders, but don't lord over the flock. Be an example to the flock. Isn't that good? So Peter obviously learned the lesson that Jesus was teaching about servanthood. So back to our passage in verse 9, Peter said, thou shalt never wash my feet. Sorry, verse 8. This is, you know, Peter, he always speaks first, thinks later. And of course, Jesus said, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. And then he said, well, then wash my hands and my head too. That's Peter, one extreme to the other. You're not going to wash my feet. No, wash my hands and my feet, hands and my head as well. And then Jesus giving kind of a double meaning here in verse 10. He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. So the primary meaning of that, of course, is he's talking about Judas, because he tells us that later. But there's a secondary meaning there too, isn't there? And that is that we as born-again Christians, we're clean. Amen? We've been washed by the blood of the Lamb. We are on our way to heaven, and there's nothing the devil can do about it. Go to 1 Corinthians 6:11. But we still get dirty, don't we? Because of this old world, it rubs off on us. Just like the dust gets on your feet. When you're wearing sandals, the dirt gets on us. When we are walking through this world and working in this world, we get dirty. But 1 Corinthians 6:11, it says, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." We've been washed by the blood. We're clean. And so he has a double meaning here. He's saying, yes, Judas is one of the 12 who's not clean, who's actually going to go to hell. But also, we don't need to be completely washed every day, do we? That's more of a Catholic-type teaching, isn't it? That we have to go to confession every week, and we have to do this every week, and do this every week, or we're going to lose our salvation. No, we have our salvation. It's permanent. It's in Christ, and we are clean. We are washed. But we still get dirty. And when we get dirty, we have to deal with the dirt, don't we? And that's where 1 John 1:9 comes in. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, keeping those short accounts with God, cleaning off the dirt when you get dirty, dealing with the sin as it happens. So a double meaning there, Judas, and then how we are clean, but we still get dirty with the world. And then 13, you call me Master and Lord. And you say, well, for so I am. He says, I am the Master. I am the Lord. I am your ruler, essentially. I'm your king. In Luke, he says, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? He says, you should be obeying me. He says, now, if I'm your Lord, if I'm your Master, and I am washing your feet, what should you do? If I'm the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, if I'm truly your Lord and I'm setting aside time and girding myself and washing the mud and dirt off your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. Follow my example. And this has been a teaching of Christ all through the Gospels. We'll look at a couple quick verses, Matthew chapter 20. And that is the teaching that we are here to serve one another. We are not here to be served. Jesus could have just as easily said, get me some of that food. Wash my feet. Go wash my clothes. Take care of me. But instead, he served them. And he's saying, this is what I want from you. I want you to serve one another. Matthew chapter 20, look at verse 27. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your what? Servant. Go to Matthew 23 now, verse 11. I'm just showing you a couple of examples, but this is one of the main themes of Christ's practical teachings. Matthew 23:11. He that is greatest among you shall be your servant. We're here to serve. And then back to John 21. Remember, I kind of touched on this earlier, but this is where Christ had risen from the dead. He was about to leave, and he was teaching the disciples more lessons, and he singled out Peter here in John 21, verse 15. So when he had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. What's he saying? If you truly love me, Peter, serve me by serving others. Feed my lambs, feed my sheep. Peter, do you really love me? Yes, Lord. Then serve me by serving others. And one of the greatest ways we can say to Jesus, I love you, is by, of course, obeying his commandments. And he's saying one of the greatest commandments is that we what? Well, he says the two greatest commandments are we love God with all of our heart and that we love each other as ourselves, right? Jesus says are the two greatest commandments. Here in John 13, down in verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. Well, what makes it new? That's in the Old Testament. Well, here's what makes it new. As I have loved you. I'm going to set a new standard of love. I no longer want you to love one another as yourself, which is the Old Testament commandment. I want you to love one another as I've loved you. Much greater love than the love we have for ourselves, the love that God has for us. He says that makes it new. And then, of course, verse 35, by this shall all men know. And so he's saying that the world is going to know that we're Christ's disciples because they're going to be able to somehow see love. Isn't that interesting? Love must be action. Because that's what it says. If you have love one to another, the world's going to say, yep, those must be Christians. Because look at them. They love one another. Well, how can they tell? Because they can see it. Amen? They can see us loving one another. So he says there in verse 15, I've given you an example. You know, this is the only time Jesus says this. So go to 1 John 2:6. It's the only time he actually says, I am doing something right now to be an example. And that was by serving the disciples. 1 John 2:6. We are here to follow Christ's example. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. We're to follow the example of Jesus Christ. And he specifically says here in John 13, I am giving you an example. You're not to lord over one another, you're to serve one another. You're to be a blessing to one another. He that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And then Galatians 5:13, just one more verse, which reminds us that we've been called to liberty, which is a wonderful thing. We've been delivered from the bondage of the law. We have the freedom to serve the Lord without the bondage of the law. But notice what he says, 5:13 of Galatians, for brethren, you've been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. You've been given liberty from the law, but don't use it to sin. Use it to serve one another. Isn't that beautiful? So Jesus says, I want you to follow my example. I want you to serve one another. Look for opportunities to serve each other. Let this mind be in you. We read in Philippians, he took upon himself the form of a servant. And so Jesus Christ, before he even begins these amazing teachings of John 13, sets aside an object lesson time, girds himself, gets a basin of water, starts washing the 12 disciples' feet. Hasn't started teaching anything yet, but he is teaching something, isn't he? He's teaching by example and saying, gentlemen, you're my disciples. You're the 12 apostles. Your name's going to be engraved in the city of God, the New Jerusalem. Imagine that. But I want you to follow my example, and I want you to serve one another. And that's the greatest compliment God could ever pay us, is that we are his servant. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for